But today we are going to start talking about the end of the war. There's not a whole lot that goes on in between. There is, but overall in the grand scheme of things, not the biggest of importance. Okay, so we left off with this last Monday. Okay, so this is our chart of percentage of people that were in the war and died and wounded and things like that. I kind of wanted to hit it again just to make sure everybody got it. So you can see this is the amount of people that they put in the war. People that are killed, wounded, prisoners are missing. Total casualties would be all these numbers added up. And then casualties as percentage of force. These are crazy percentage numbers. If you're part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, 90% chance that you would be killed, wounded, or disappear. That's nuts. 90% chance? Okay. 67% chance just overall. That's a ridiculous total. You had a almost 70% chance that you were going to get hurt, killed, or just flat out disappear from the face of the earth, which pretty much means you died. Okay. So this kind of shows you the brutality of the war. All right. So why were the death tolls so high? Anybody have a thought why the death tolls were so high in this war? Because of what? Tactics?
That being trench warfare.
Trench warfare? Okay. Yeah, it's a kind of a combination of all these things. Okay. New and deadly weapons, old world strategies. We're still getting up and running at each other. All right. But that's a lot harder to do when someone has a machine gun pointed at you versus a musket ball, which took like a minute to reload. All right. So I'd rather run into a musket ball. I'm not saying I'd rather do either, but if I had a choice between a musket ball or a machine gun, I think I might take the musket, all right? So these are the reasons why the war was so bad, and here's what we mean by that. So, like I've been saying, tanks versus horses, bolt rifles. Everybody know what a bolt rifle is? It's like a hunting rifle, boom, slide it, lock it down, okay? Bolt rifles versus machine guns. Machine guns are a little bit more effective in trying to kill people, okay? You had the same strategies as the Napoleonic Wars. Line up and shoot each other. So you add all those things together, life is going to get a little bit bloody, okay, overall. So it's like we've been saying, all right? Which is crazy to think that people still run at each other with machine guns. I mean, think of it, you know, in like the little video we watched yesterday, that was the safer thing to do because you were moving around. Anybody ever played paintball before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The safest thing to do in paintball is to constantly move.
Unless you find a perfect type.
Same with airsoft.
Yeah, airsoft guns, anything like that.
Perfect height.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
You know,
but the idea is that if you constantly move, that's the safest spot. It's the same thing here, but you also have artillery being shot at you. What did it say? 3 rounds every second was the average throughout the whole war. Okay. I mean, so it's like you have to constantly move, but everywhere you go is like hell on earth. So it's pretty nuts. All right. Okay. So we got to talk about some other things. This is how the U.S. gets involved. We were involved in this war towards the end. But this is what happens. We stayed neutral at the beginning of this. Anybody want to guess why we would stay neutral at the end, at the beginning of this?
I wouldn't want to fight the whole world.
Okay. We wouldn't want to fight the whole world. We're not smaller. No.
We didn't care as much.
Hmm. Where are we and where are they?
They're across the ocean.
Yeah, they're across the world. Does any of their problems have any involvement with us?
No.
Hell no.
Yeah, why did we get involved?
Okay. We had nothing to do with it. At this time, we are isolationists, meaning do whatever you want to do. We're just going to take care of us and we'll be fine. Okay? But what we did do was we kept selling stuff to Europe, mainly the Allies. Okay, so we'd send boats over all the time, okay, supplies, food, materials, things like that. Because, hell, people in war need to buy stuff, and we're more than happy to sell it to them. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just called making money, okay? So this is what's happening. So we're not involved, but kind of involved, okay? We're sending the materials needed to make guns, okay? But we're not sending you guns. We're sending everything you need to make bullets, but we're not sending you bullets. Okay? Innocent, but not innocent. So this is what happens. The Germans have a fleet of these. Yes, submarines, German U-boats. This is the first war that submarines really take place. Mm-hmm. They had them in World War II as well. No, no, no. Submarines were used for the first time in the American Civil War.
That's so weird, because it's like submarine horse.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a weird war. It's like, I'm still riding a horse, but you're using torpedoes to sink people in a submarine.
Why can't it be a horse with a machine gun on it?
Because horses don't like the sound of machine guns on them. Yeah. Okay. Also, these submarines aren't like what we think of now, like all bottom of the ocean.
The Lake Stevens bus has just arrived. Breakfast is still available if you want to run in there real quick. Thank you.
So these aren't like submarines like we think of now, nuclear submarines, go underwater forever and ever and ever. These guys just were like right below the water. Okay? They're not the most high-tech. But here's a look inside of one. Okay? Not spacious by any means. Okay?
15 people in there.
Yeah, not a fun place you want to be. Okay? Pretty much if something bad happened, you're dead. And bad things happen all the time. You also have a diesel engine in a tight underground bottle with limited amount of oxygen. Not the greatest place to have that.
Yeah, but you had an anti-aircraft gun
waiting for explosion.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, waiting for an explosion. Yeah, you have an anti-aircraft gun, but where do you have to go to shoot that?
Above
the water. And there's not a whole lot of airplanes back then, so that's not the biggest fear in the world. But you got a gun.
You got a deck gun, too.
Yeah, which is great, but you have to be on the surface, which is the most dangerous place for you. Yeah. So, you do have torpedoes, but they're not like we see in the movies now where it's like, locked on, boom, you dead. No, it's like, gotcha. And hopefully it goes in the right direction. Okay? Crude submarines compared to nowadays. But this is what they do. Here's your little note here. Okay? So this is what happens. About 2 years into the war, Germany starts doing what they call unrestricted U-boat warfare. Okay? So it always been, Germany was the only place with U-boats, with submarines, which gave them a huge advantage. Okay? Yeah. You got submarines, they don't have submarines. It's pretty much a free-for-all for you. So what they start doing, though, is unrestricted U-boat warfare. What do you think that means, unrestricted U-boat warfare?
They can shoot anything they want.
Yeah, shoot anybody. It's always been a policy in war to not kill civilians, okay? That is, or anything that is war-related. So sending over clothes or food, you'd be okay. They wouldn't sink you, okay? They would radio over, what ship are you, and you could look it up and yada, yada, yada. Or you'd have a passenger, a cruise ship, like the Titanic, okay? That would be safe because, in essence, they're all innocent tourists and things like that. Okay. What Germany, though, didn't believe. They knew America was sending stuff to Europe, to England, and they're like, liars! You are not sending over supplies, you are hiding guns and soldiers in there. Which, we were hiding guns in there, that's probably true, yes. Okay. But you couldn't prove it. We weren't hiding soldiers yet. But they were saying that that's what we were doing. We'd be like hiding a bunch of weapons and stuff on a passenger cruise ship, and everybody'd be like, oh, there's nothing here. So Germany says, screw it, sink them all. Okay? So they do, and in particular, they sink this boat. It's called the Lusitania. It's actually the sister ship of the Titanic. Okay? So.
See, they don't attack the Titanic, but that doesn't stop.
Well, Titanic was already gone. Okay. So. Here's the important thing. So they sink the Lusitania, killing a bunch of people. I mean, they literally sink it and leave it and say, peace. Okay? Pretty brutal. Now, the reason why I show you this is what begins to happen around the country. Now, this is an Irish one, of course, but this is what happens. Okay? They take this as an attack on America. They're saying, wait a minute, you just killed X amount of American citizens that are on that ship innocently. Granted, we hid guns on there, but that's not the point.
Okay? Yeah, come on.
You can't prove that. That's at the bottom of the ocean. Okay? Yeah. So, they'd start making posters saying, Germany attacked us. Germany tried to kill us. Okay? Join up. Here's another one. This is an American one. defeat the Kaiser. Remember, he's the leader of Germany. And his U-boats. Victory depends on which fails first, food or frightfulness. Eat less wheat.
What?
This is trying to inspire people to fight it, but you can't do everything at home, so try to, like, save your food so you can give more food to the government, more food to the army. But these are the posters you would see, like at the local grocery store or anything like Subway, anything like that. You would see these posters that inspire people. And so what happens is starting to change American opinion, where it's like, oh, they're evil. Like, I can show you some posters here of, like, the ridiculousness of it, the propaganda that comes out. Like, to the point where it, like, we stopped teaching German in this country. Like, we used to teach Spanish in this, or German instead of Spanish in this country. We stopped doing that. We also changed the name of sauerkraut to Liberty Cabbage.
What?
Yeah. Because that's, we were anti-German.
Liberty Cabbage?
Oh, yeah.
It's so stupid.
Right. It's stupid, but we did it less than, or like about 10 years ago with French fries. After 9/11, we changed French fries to Freedom Fries because it's more American.
But they're still called French fries.
No, they're called Freedom Fries.
No, they don't.
All right, so, like the guy in Today in History, here's Woodrow Wilson, president of the time. Did not want to go to war. I don't blame him. Who would? Okay, but this is what happens. On April 6, 1917, so this is 3 years already into the war, Congress votes overwhelmingly, 373-50, and we officially declare war on Germany. Okay. So we officially joined the war on the side of the Allies. All because Germans started sinking boats and we got angry about it. Okay, because
like
a few American citizens died.
World War II. We weren't really involved until
Pearl War. Right, but that was a direct attack.
Yeah.
This was, you know, kind of them, they warned us, but
well,
we kept doing
say,
it.
I would say this is in some way a direct attack. They killed American citizens.
They shot British boats that had Americans on it.
Yeah. Who cares?
Well, it's kind of a little bit different deal. All right, so I want to flip over and show you some of those posters that I was talking about. Oh, here's one.
Here's my boy. Take him. So look how we like romanticize the war. This stuff you don't have to know. Oh, here's another one.
Sow the seeds of victory. Plant and raise your own vegetables. Okay. Every garden a munitions plant. Let's see some other ones here. There you go. Wake up, America. Civilization calls every man, woman, and child. Here's the one. The Navy needs you. Don't read American history. Make it. This one's interesting. Destroy the mad brute. Enlist in the army.
All
right. So they see, so the brute, he's the Kaiser. That was the famous helmet that they wore. It says militarism on it, and of course, yeah, and I think, what does that say? It says skull-later or something? Mutilator or something like that? But yeah, it's playing on King Kong, which was a famous movie at the time. Okay. And then you have him, you see the ground there, it's like coming off the water, and it's like, he's coming to America to steal your women and beat you to death with a club. Okay. Let's see, I got some, yeah, here's some hysteria. So, oh yeah, here's one. Check this one out. This is ridiculous. This is from England. Once a German, always a German. So they show him up in the upper left, like stabbing and murdering babies.
Whoa.
Torturing, about to rape. And then you see him down here. And then you see him afterwards. He's like, I'm a businessman. It's like, always remember. Pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, then people bought into this. They're like, oh yeah, Germans kill babies. I heard it. I saw it. Like, what?
Kill babies.
All right, here's another one.
Always a baby killer running
around. Yeah, monthly report, babies killed, 164, children, 178, women, 292, non-combatants covered up. A good month's business. They're devils.
We were at the best.
Here's another one saying that Germans are, you know, snakes, serpents, anti-German union.
Wow.
All right, so that's it. So yeah, so let me skip here towards the end of the war.
Can I ask a question on why there was food in this presentation?
That's what I was talking about earlier. I can go back to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go back to it. So, let's talk about hysteria. So here's what we talked about. No German languages in school. We changed the name of hamburgers because hamburger is Hamburg, Germany. It's traditionally a German food. Liberty sausage. Because freedom, America.
Liberty.
Sauerkraut, like I said, liberty cabbage.
We put our flag in that leaf, and it was like ours.
Told you. It's crazy what like countries do sometimes. Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue. All right, so let's go back to Europe, though, and talk about the end of the war. All right, so here's the end of the war. June 29th, 1919. This is the end of the war. This is almost 5 years to the day that the war started with Franz Ferdinand being killed.
I got some
seat. Right, so have a seat. Okay, so that's kind of crazy. What up? Can you hold on for a second? Okay. So this is what happens. You have what is known as the Treaty of Versailles. Everybody remember Versailles? From the French Revolution, this was the King's Palace.
Yeah.
Okay? We do almost all world treaties are at the Treaty of Versailles. If you ever have a question in life, what world treaty did that? Answer Versailles.
Is it because it's pretty?
Yeah, it is because it's pretty. That's it. So this is what it looked like. Here's an actual picture inside of it. So the Great War ends. Here are the delegates. Okay, these are the people actually negotiating. These guys are writing it down. These people are their supporters and, like, friends. These are other important people. These are their wives. These are people just watching. Okay? So this is what the actual war looked like. We were, of course, part of this. The President of the United States went to this. Woodrow Wilson. Right there. Okay? This was a huge deal. It's the first time the President left the United States. Woodrow Wilson was there to negotiate this. This is what happened, okay? So, why did the war end? We didn't talk about a battle that was like this decisive battle that ended it all, like Waterloo or something like that. What happened is the fighting went on for 5 years. Nobody could sustain it anymore. It was too long. Germany ran out of food and people. You saw how many people died? Millions. They didn't have any more. They're starving to death. They're running out of weapons. Soldiers. And so eventually they're forced to surrender. Okay? They just couldn't keep it up any longer. Okay? So no decisive battle throughout the world. Like I said, the Battle of Somme, the biggest, deadliest battle throughout the whole war, never went more than 100 yards pretty much. Either way. It was just a stalemate the whole time. Just completely, completely nothing budged.
World War II wasn't like that, right?
No, World War II was not like that. So Germany, though, had to finally give up. Just couldn't keep it going. And that's a big deal. Remember, I told you guys that back then, this was like about pride and honor. Okay? Like you went to war because it was the glorious thing to do, the romantic thing to do. This whole war was started originally because of the pride of you killed our person, then you didn't listen to me. So pride and honor was a huge deal. Right? So them surrendering was a big hit to their ego. Alright? So they surrender. This is why it's impacted. I know this is a lot here, but it's important. So here's the impact of the Treaty of Versailles. So there's 446 points of the treaty. Think about it, like 446 bullet points. Okay? 440 of them were about punishing Germany. Six of them were for creating what was called the League of Nations. Like the pre-UN. Right? The very first international organization. Okay? But 440 were about punishing Germany, which is not what President Woodrow Wilson got or wanted, but it's what all the other countries wanted. They said, Germany started this war, we need to punish them. And so this is what they had to do. They must accept blame publicly. Pay war reparations. What does that mean?
Money.
They were charged for the war. Wow. Like, sent a bill from the countries.
That's stupid.
It was a total of... What was it? 6,600 million pounds, which would be billions upon billions of dollars nowadays. Send a bill. Then here you go. You owe us for losing the war.
It's
crazy. Oh, more than monopoly money. They also could not have an air force, and they were limited to the Navy. No U-boats. Had to get rid of all their U-boats. Okay? And could only have like five or six battleships total. They had to shrink the army and had to turn over all their weapons and then return all the territories that they had conquered or colonies that they had in the world. What do you think the impact of this is? Why would I put this up?
Because that's what World War II kind of started. They hated us, didn't they?
Well, yeah. What position does this put Germany in? Crappy one. Revenge, yeah. Think about it. They surrendered because they were starving, didn't have a lot of people, and they were, you know, dying. And then you do all this to them. Then you make them in the world's biggest debt that there's ever seen. Right? And they don't have any sort of military. And then any sort of power that they had internationally, they just had to give up.
They're weak.
They're weak. So yeah, it worked. They punished the hell out of Germany.
If we didn't do all of that to Germany, they probably would have never been in World War II.
It's a good possibility. Okay? But that's what we're going to go into our next conversation after World War I is going to be what will lead to World War II. What will lead people to listen to someone like Adolf Hitler? Well, think of the depression that you're in. Mm-hmm. Not only did 12 million people die from Germany, they came back and...
But they hated everybody else.
They hated everybody, absolutely. Depressing, but not that. You come back... There's no food, no jobs, and any money that your government makes, you now have to pay other countries who just forced you to surrender and took everything from you. Does it give you a good person to hate? Yeah. Hell yeah, it gives you a good person to hate. Look at this. This was the territories in yellow that they controlled before the war. Pretty powerful countries in yellow, huh? Right? You got stuff and great diamonds here. Okay? You got all the sorts of resources here, rubber, okay? You control practically all the Middle East, a huge part of Europe, and Papua New Guinea.
How'd they get that?
Exploration. This is what they, France and England controlled afterwards. Notice, France got their African colonies and some of their Middle Eastern, and England got some of their other stuff. So England's all in red, or Great Britain, and France in blue. So this war made France and Great Britain huge, massive world powers, right? England already was, but this is now a million times bigger.
France is huge.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. They control. There's France, and they controlled like half of Africa. Here's England, and they controlled, well, like a third of the world. Okay? Pretty nuts.
All of Australia.
Yeah. All of Australia was theirs. Okay. All right. Questions kind of on the end of the war there?
Bad.
No? All right. So I got a short little video here for you guys.